It's Thursday, April 26th, and boy, do we have a huge sports evening on tap. No pun intended. First, the Bucks face elimination in Game 6 tonight at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center. Day 1 of the NFL draft kicks off. Nolan Murphy will join us for that. And the first-place Milwaukee Brewers head to Chicago to open up a 4-game set against the Cubs. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
To another edition of the Tiny Keg Podcast, episode 283.
Back in the new digs.
Back in the studio.
Excuse me, the old digs.
The old digs feel like the new digs.
It's been
a few weeks.
Like a month.
We're free. We're back in the mix. We got our boy Nolan Murphy going to be talking about all the stuff with us, mostly the draft, pick his brain about what the Packers may do, go over some of the draft headlines, also talk about what he sees in the other parts of the draft. I'm always joined by Mitch Ross. You can find him at Mitch Ross MKE on Twitter, as he mentions. How are you doing today?
I'm well.
Oh, yeah.
After yesterday, I mean, I don't know. It's been a weird week.
Well, I hear you, man. It's one of those weeks, man.
We're doing okay. We dodged a pretty big bullet.
Let's just
say that.
Yes, thoughts and prayers to your car.
Trouble, but it'll be back.
Yes, exactly.
And so, for a lot, you know, it's not going to be life-altering money. I do know that.
No doubt about it. And before I introduce our guests, you know you can find us on NoTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. The listens have been kick-ass this week. Thank you all who are listening. We're nearing 10,000 plays overall, which is wild. Fun little fact there. Snow tap parties in the mix. Hopefully we'll have more information on that next week. So let's introduce our guest. He is our draft expert. He goes by Producer Murph. If you listen to the Daily Tap, he's done a few. He's joining us, Nolan Murphy from West Palm Beach, at the Nolan Murphy's, where you can find him on Twitter. Oh, he was almost gonna play some intro music. Murph, how we doing, baby?
Hello, hello. Happy holidays, fellas.
What's going on, man? Best day of the year for you, huh?
Just putting the finishing touches on, always the most sought-after draft preview that SnowTap ever puts out every year. So it's should be over to the big Don Charlie a little earlier than usual.
Awesome, yeah. Not the 2 o'clock. Like, yeah, man, I just got one more. Like, just got one more. No,
One more round.
That's awesome. Well, I know we have you for the draft, but I know you've been watching the Bucks, so we're going to start there because, obviously, the Bucks are sort of the topic, right? It's Game 6, could be the last game in the Bradley Center. And I guess I'll start with Mitch, then I'll go to Murph. What's kind of your thoughts after Game 5? I mean, last time we talked, the Bucks were down 2-0. We were miserable. I feel like we're a lot better now, even though they're down 3-2 right now.
A lot better. I mean, really, overall, they've lost 3 games in this series, and 2 of them they could have / should have won.
Right.
So, you know, obviously last Wednesday when we recorded, last Thursday when the podcast dropped, we were leading into or coming off a terrible game too.
Yep.
Where it just was the same old problems.
Right.
Now, and I'm thinking I wasn't too upset after that game last night.
No.
I do kind of think it was a matter of them just not making enough shots.
And Joe Prunty couldn't adjust to Semi Ojeleye being a problem for Giannis. And Giannis deferred only 10 shots. I didn't listen to a lot of media today. You guys would have to tell me if he got killed for only taking 10 shots. I think it was his fault, but
as killed as Giannis will get killed.
So lightly, just a gentle prod.
Just like it's a question.
It's a question.
Should Giannis have been more aggressive?
And he Dean Mallett had the stat that or Malay, or whatever, had it said that Giannis had 9 assists, but he had 20 attempts at assists. So there were 11 opportunities missed. So that goes to your point about them not making any shots.
Well, and Tony Snell is horrible.
Tony Snell has to be on the bench the rest of the game, the rest of the series.
I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah.
I don't know why we can't find Sterling Brown some of those minutes.
Because Joe Prunty hates his guts. That's why.
We'll talk about that every week probably.
Oh, yeah, until the Bucks are eliminated.
Which is probably, I'm not going
to
say it.
Yeah, we'll see. So, Murph, we haven't really talked to you about the Bucks playoff plight. You've been obviously tweeting about it. At Nolan Murphy, as we said, what's sort of your
the Nolan Murphy?
The Nolan Murphy, yes. What's sort of your take on where the Bucks are at this point? point, and what are you thinking about heading into Game 6 tonight?
I mean, I first want to apologize to Chris Middleton. I know you did that earlier in the week
on
Daily Tap, but I was ready to send Chris Middleton to whatever Middle East team David Blatt is coaching right now. I think that if we come out of this playoffs knowing that we really have a great contract, you know, with Chris Middleton, and we really have that second punch to Giannis, that could be, you know, really have saved what I have kind of coined as a lost season for the Bucks. I think the only way the Bucks win this series right now is if they get, you know, huge contributions from Jabari Parker, because right now, as hard as Giannis is playing, as tired as he is, as many minutes as he's playing, and, you know, as well as Chris Middleton has shot the ball, it still doesn't seem to be enough. You guys mentioned Tony Snell. That's infuriating just to see, you know, that contract on the books for the next 3 years. You know, Thon taking three-pointers in Game 5 was a little frustrating. And, you know, you mentioned Sterling Brown not playing, but where was Malcolm Brogdon at the end of Game 5? I don't know what Joe Prunty, who he has pictures on or what, but he definitely wants to put his finishing touches on his Bucks legacy as a coach.
Well, yeah, the Shabazz Muhammad stuff, I got it when they needed a boost for scoring and literally did his job, but you don't have to go back to that. Like,
No.
That was a good third quarter decision. That was a good decision. It's a terrible fourth quarter decision, because how many big shots has Brogdon made in this playoffs and for his, like, two-year limited career?
Yeah.
He's a clutch shot maker. He knows how to make big shots. He's done it in the Garden.
I agree, but I will kind of disagree with Nolan. I mean, yeah, it's good to see Jabari Parker come back, and it was good to see him play well on the road. Had a tremendous game in Game 5. But I think Bledsoe is more of a key. If, you know, just the bottom line is you're not going to bench him. I know everybody thinks.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you're not going to.
Right, because we've seen
if you think he's a head case now, I mean, if you bench him, good luck.
We've seen what's happened when Dele's been the lead guy for the Bucks before. It hasn't really worked out. We hoped it would, and it just, Dele's better on the bench.
Yeah.
And so I think we did see some glimmers of hope for Bledsoe. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic that maybe we get a Bledsoe game in Game 6. He was good down the stretch, but I would agree with you that Bledsoe has been the most frustrating player.
Yeah.
He is certainly
frustrating, and everybody's obviously very upset with him right now.
Yeah, if he ever shoots 15 times again, I mean, I'll be ready to send him home.
Well, somebody has to.
I mean, that's
my
15
thing
shots isn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, but 5 of 15 is bad. My thing with Brogdon, though, and this is kind of the 50,000-foot view, is do we think he's ever going to return to where he was as a rookie? Because he's a guy that dealt with injuries in college, and he just doesn't look like he has the athleticism to return to where he was as a rookie.
He never really was a very athletic guy. That's why I think more of a two-guard.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of people are like, well, put Brogdon at the point guard. I don't think he's an NBA point guard. He's an off guard who can guard the two, but ideally possibly run your offense.
If
that's possible.
Yeah. You could also make the argument that maybe Brogdon put on too much muscle and now he's a little heavy.
He did redo his body a little bit, I think, in the offseason.
And that screws guys up sometimes. If you put too much muscle into your legs and stuff like that, you're not as bouncy. I mean, that's why Jordan was, I'm not comparing the two, but why Jordan was so bad coming back from being a baseball player was he had baseball legs. He didn't have basketball legs.
Yeah.
So
he'd been sitting at a casino table for like.
Well, yeah, yes. His lungs were filled with cigar smoke, and he had enough baby oil through his body that he, you know, whatever. But yes, the Bucks have some issues. I think it's going to be a really fun game. I mean, the Bradley Center obviously will be rocking. I think we don't have to worry about the crowds. It was really funny if you listen back to that Tapping the Keg, Mitch and I were like, well, what kind of crowd are we going to get? And I told Mitch, like, it's an 8:30 start, man. I think you're just going to get a really drunk crowd. And it's sure enough, everyone was just on fire.
Yeah.
And then even
and
that
Sunday,
noon crowd
Sunday was
lit.
Just as good, yeah.
And so if maybe Mitch could turn his phone off for one of these things.
Well, if the Brewers had quit scoring, we would have not have that issue.
I don't mind that to be why your notifications are going off then.
Well, thank you.
So, yes, I think the Bucks can force a Game 7. I wouldn't be surprised. They've been known, I guess it's part of that narrative right now of just coming out completely flat for these games. A part of you wants to believe that it's going to be different this time around, that it's just not going to happen that way. If they go down fighting, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if they lose by 3 points and it's over, because I have a wedding on Saturday and I don't really need to be sweating out a game seven as I'm also being a part of a wedding.
And then that's also supposed to be a 7 p.m. Central time, should it come to that.
Oh, yeah, that actually is okay, because that's the reception.
Right.
Then I can kind of just casually check and maybe get in on the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So I think the Bucks can get it done. I think it's going to be chippy as all hell. They obviously have to contain guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum like they did in game five. And Prunty has to adjust to the Ogilvy problem and start freeing up Giannis more, whether it's screens, whether it's off-ball stuff. You have to do some different things to adjust for what Brad Stevens did.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of like, and obviously the home team has won every game.
Right.
So I have no reason to believe that the Bucks are going to come out and, you know, again, the crowd should be good. It's a Thursday night. And that's obviously huge to their defensive effort. The defense wasn't terrible in game five, but, you know, it wasn't good enough, clearly.
Right, and you just have to channel some of that home energy, and you just need one guy to just step up. If Deli, Thon, or Tony Snell, I know that's a long shot, but if one of those guys steps up in game five, they win that game. We're talking about, can the Bucks actually close it out in six? Can we actually have Bucks in six tonight?
Yeah, right.
And so, Murph, do you think that are you in agreement? Are we in a three man agreement that the Bucks can get it done tonight?
Yeah, I think they get it done. But I, you know, was kind of on the record that I thought they had to win Game Five to win this series. I think it's just going to be really hard to go into Boston,
yeah,
a Game Seven on the road. You know, all the memories and ghosts flying around the Boston Garden, and for how good Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been in this playoffs, I unfortunately just don't foresee an opportunity where the Bucks win this series, because they have to win in Boston in Game 7.
I feel like if you're going to steal a game, Game 1 and Game 5 are probably your two most likely candidates.
And they were right there.
Yep. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it's a depleted Boston team and you couldn't get one of those. But
I don't disagree with you, fellas. The only thing I will say about Game 7s, just in general, Game 7s is where the best player shows up, and the best player ends up sometimes being the difference of why you win. And the Bucks do have the best player. I don't think that I agree with you guys. I'm totally in agreement. Yeah. I just want to throw that out there to say, hey, could Giannis win a Game 7 on his own and kind of etch that legacy a little bit? Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I also wouldn't be surprised if his ankle is completely killing him and he needs surgery at the end of this year.
Yeah, that would stink, wouldn't it?
I mean, he mentioned it, why the whole Bel Air thing started, because he's like, I can't really stand on my ankle. I didn't really want to stand on my ankle, which, whatever. We don't need to talk about that Bel Air thing. Right. Milwaukee did enough of it. But as also going on Thursday, a lot is happening. The Packers and
if the Bucks do win the series, they'll just get rolled by Philly.
They won't get swept. Giannis is going to dunk on bitch-ass Embiid at one point. It's going to be great.
Are you out on Embiid now?
No, not really. I need to build up some false bravado.
Come to the dark side.
Ben Simmons is kind of a whiny bitch.
Oh,
I'm not going to deny that.
They got a lot of fuckboys on that team.
Dario Saric.
You know, if the Bucks play the Sixers, you know Ersan's having like a 20-point quarter.
Oh, God.
Ersan, excuse me.
Oh God!
Well, you got JJ Redick. You have Ben Simmons is kind of a, you know,
yes,
and
Dario.
I'm not going to repeat Dario. Yeah, he's
Dario can get fucked.
He's annoying.
Like, Dario has such a punchable face.
What's wrong with Dario? He's just an Eastern European.
I don't really have a huge problem with Dario.
Oh, I didn't know that I was going to get shamed for hating an Eastern European guy. I thought this was America.
Covington, there's really nothing wrong with him. You know, but you can pretty much go down the roster and be like, I kind of don't like that guy. I mean, Redick's a former Buck, and
he hates Milwaukee.
Rock bottom as a Bucks fan.
That's the thing. He traded your Lord and Savior, Tobias Harris, at that time. So as I was trying to say before my co-host got into it, the Packers do draft, and they will be making their first selection, the highest they've selected in quite some time, at the 14th. Brian Gutekunst, this will be his first pick. There will be so many takes that will melt our faces off no matter what they do. And there's a lot going around right now. There's a lot of balls in the air. Some people think Packers may trade up. They may stay where they are. I don't think there's a lot of that they'll trade down. Aaron Nagler basically summed up best, saying there are rumors everywhere. So Murph
sounds like a typical NFL draft.
Absolutely. It's a crapshoot. And that's what Brian Billick said. It's a crapshoot. Don't let anyone believe you differently. So we don't get post push notifications like Mike Mayock just finished his draft. But it's 8:12 our time here on a Wednesday. We're about 24 hours less out. Where are you leaning? What do you think the Packers may do with this draft?
Yeah, and I've kind of felt like this for probably the last 48 hours, at least 24, that if Denzel Ward starts to fall after 6 and after that first run on quarterbacks, I think the Packers will start picking up the phone because they do have 12 picks in the draft, which is tied for the most with the soon-to-be Los Angeles Raiders. I also do think that the quarterbacks are going to have an impact on if the Packers decide to stay at 14 because I would not be shocked at this point if Josh Rosen for some reason is still there because no one's draft stock has been – you know, basically misguided, I feel like, by the media and by scouts and by NFL sources than Josh Rosen, maybe other than Lamar Jackson. So if he's there or if Lamar Jackson is there at 14, I think the Packers could seriously think about trading back because they think they can get a Josh Jackson or a Marcus Davenport, you know, in the late teens and pick up more picks because the big theme with this draft is how many people think there's starters in the second and third round. And I think the Packers are one of those teams that they're so close that they really may just need two or three more starters or playmakers than just, you know, taking a huge risk on a Derwin James at 14.
So glad you brought up Derwin James. A lot of people have the Packers actually picking up to get Derwin James. What scares you about him as a prospect and as a player for the Packers?
I mean, he's not Jalen Ramsey. I think that's the first thing you need to point at. He's a completely different player. Yes, they went to Florida State, you know, around the same times. But he is like a in-the-box type of safety, somewhat similar to Tyrann Mathieu, and may not be as athletic or, you know, have the ability to cover players down the field. And I'm not saying that Josh Jones and HaHa Clinton Dix are, you know, the next versions of Troy Polamalu, but I don't see a scenario – and maybe Mike Patton is just so much smarter than me that you could put all three of those guys on the field for your, you know, so-called base defense.
Right.
That's what scares me the most, that Derwin James is this, like, prototypical player, but the Packers don't really need another, you know, like, guy that can potentially play linebacker, can potentially play that hybrid safety linebacker position. What they need is people that can shut down people down the field and on the perimeter.
So I guess the other thing is, like, what to you would be a nightmare sort of scenario for the Packers? I've kind of seen that as a Twitter quote tweet, but I think it's a good question to ask you. Like, who's your, like, on your list of you can't draft him in any scenario, or I really would advise against it?
I mean, I don't want to put Derwin James there yet because, you know, like...
Yeah, he's super talented.
He's super talented, so on and so forth. I mean, I think if we went, like, you know, the Notre Dame offensive tackle, Mike
McGlinchey. Yeah.
I would be a little upset about that. I know you brought this name up earlier this week on Daily Tap, but Vita V, I would pull my hair out. I actually had a chance. He's the Washington defensive tackle that everyone wants to compare to Haloti Ngata. I think he's way more Danny Shelton.
Ew.
If we're going to compare Samoans. And I actually.
If we're going to compare Samoans.
If I actually got to track a bunch of Washington games in the 2017 season for Pro Football Focus just so I could figure out how they did it. And, yeah, he shows flashes all the time, but for this defensive line that's already expected to be so good, I really don't understand where picking a nose tackle that potentially could play on the outside in certain packages is really a huge value at 14 for a team that has so many more needs.
So I'm looking at Mike Mayock. You pointed that out.
Yep.
He's got Green Bay taking Jair Alexander, the corner, out of Louisville.
Which is very interesting, not to steal Murph's thunder, but it's very interesting because Jair is under the Ted Thompson requirement. So would...
Yep, I was just going to bring that up. He's
5'10". Yeah, he's undersized.
Would Teddy let Brian actually do that with Teddy in the room? I think he'd choke him out. I think he's like, you betrayed me.
Do we think Ted is in the room tomorrow?
That's according to reports.
I believe Gutekunst said that to me, to the media, that Ted Thompson will be in the room.
That is, as he should be. I mean, Ted is really smart, and I have always, you know, obviously I beat the drum for Ted all the time, but Ted is at his best when he's a scout, and I think, you know, Brian Gutekunst was part of that Kevin King selection, and Mike Mayock, yeah, he's great, and yeah, he's trying to petition to get, you know, an actual NFL broadcasting job, but I don't think he's done his homework there if he thinks the Packers are going to select Jair Alexander. And, you know, great, picking an ACC cornerback. They don't play any defense in that conference. I would not love that.
And I wouldn't either. And actually, what's funny is you were prophetic about Rosen dropping, because he has Rosen being taken by Arizona with 15 and Lamar Jackson to Baltimore with 16. So that would kind of, to your point, essentially, about the quarterbacks. And so you're on it. And that's why we talk to you. This is why we go after it. I guess to move away from corners, then we'll also get into more of the second, third round and guys you like, guys you don't. Marcus Davenport and Harold Landry. I am all the way out on Marcus Davenport just because I feel like he's a workout warrior. I feel like it's all, well, he has potential, and people are putting him in this. The Packers have to draft him because he's the only edge rusher. And Harold Landry, I've kind of rode for and said, I think he's a really good player, but he may not be worth the 14th pick. He may not be that talented. So where do you sit on these edge rushers? Do you think it's just see what you can get later in the draft, or do you think it's worth going after him if there's no corner available?
I think if the corner they don't love is available, and that would probably be, you know, Denzel Ward, and depending on how high they have Josh Jackson from Iowa rated, I think that's where they start to trade down. On Davenport, you know, I've liked Davenport, you know, since really this process started, and I think he's a lot farther along than Ziggy Ansah was, and they're kind of the same type of athletes, guys that started playing football later in their careers. And he's just a freak athlete. My thing with Harold Landry is I just don't know how good of an athlete he is, and I really see a lot of Dayton Jones in Harold Landry. Harold Landry,
the tone setter.
And I loved Dayton when we picked him, but talk about guys' draft stock that has dramatically dropped since the process started. Harold Landry at one point was a top 10 pick, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm pulling up an NFL.com, you know, mock draft. Everybody's all over the place, but he's going to the Lions. I know you had him rumored there, Charlie, as well. I'd be fine seeing that going. I want to throw another name out, actually, for someone I'd be extremely irate if we picked. If for some reason we picked Calvin Ridley at 14, I'd call it a night. I'd call it a night. I'd hit the bar, and I'd wake up for day two because I would be irate. A guy that basically is a poor man's version of Amari Cooper, if we're going to draw the connection to the same school, never had much separation, is really just a take-the-top-off-the-defense type of guy that you could get in day two or day three. I would be irate if we picked Calvin Ridley. And I know Pinhead Nation thinks we need wide receiver.
Well, and they're going to get their wish probably on Friday, which we can transition to. You know, there's all these different receivers that have been thrown out. I see Michael Gallup. I've seen Anthony Miller. There are a lot of different options, I think, for the Packers when it comes to the second round, tight ends available as well. So where do the Packers go? Let's just say they get a corner that they want. Is day two going to be about the offense, or are they going to look at defense even more?
Yeah, some guys I have kind of, you know, looked at in day two. If we're going to go wide receiver, I love Anthony Miller out of
Memphis.
So
do I.
He's got a lot of Steve Smith to him. He's a huge chip on your shoulder type of guy. He's 6'2", runs good routes, you know, was a walk-on to then an All-American, had 18 touchdown catches. I love him. And also another guy I really like is Jamon Moore out of Missouri. I think he is really talented, and he may be more of a round three pick. But I also think you got to look at tight end. I know Dallas Goedert out of South Dakota State, he's gotten a ton of kind of like sleeper, small school, you know, potential. I would love him. I like Troy Fumagalli a ton out of Wisconsin. I know he's got the weird hand thing, and he may be more of a day three selection, but I think the Packers have to address the tight end position because I don't think it's totally fixed yet.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think more weapons that you can get, the better. And
Miller is Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, you know, that typical Greg Jennings, that typical starting receiver the Packers have been able to find for years in the second and third rounds of the draft.
Like a 6'2", like nice possession guy, but can also go deep and run good routes and just be a smart receiver.
He also played in an explosive offense with Memphis, and just the idea of playing with sort of that run and gun.
I mean, you know, Devontae played with a good quarterback and a great quarterback in college. One of the best.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, jeez.
Since you mentioned Fumagalli, I'll go to the Badgers stuff. How many Badgers do you think will be drafted? Do you think that it's going to be a good year for Wisconsin in terms of their draft picks, or where are there, you know, I guess where is the love for Wisconsin right now? Since I know we have some Badger fans listening.
I mean, this isn't like the deepest Badger team. Now, Nick Nelson had the injury late in the draft process, so we're going to see. You know, he was rumored to the Packers as high as the first round before, I think he had a pectoral injury.
A meniscus tear, I believe.
Meniscus injury. Yeah, wrong part of the body.
That's okay. But, that's all right. You got a lot in your brain, baby. It's all right.
There's a couple Packers out there that I think, you know, like a Leon Jacobs comes to mind.
Yeah.
There's another linebacker that comes to mind. I think the Packers, for years, actually have done a good job at picking the late end Badgers. You know, you look back to Mark Tauscher. Now they always don't go get the T.J. Watts, and that book is not run. You know, that book is not finished being written yet.
Vince Beagle.
Vince Beagle.
I still believe in Vince Beagle, by the way.
Yeah. So do I. Yeah. It's just not. It's his fault. He happened to just roll into Packers the facility for the first time in a wheelchair. I mean, that's pretty tough to get on the field. But
sure.
I mean, there's definitely some Badgers that could be picked, but I think you probably look more towards the 2019 draft when that team is a lot more mature.
Yeah, they're
going to really have some high-end players being picked in the first round.
Yeah, they're going to be loaded. It'll be interesting. Is Jack Citchie, is he going to be playing football? He decided to play even though he's had a bunch of injuries, right?
Yeah, Jack Citchie is kind of like one of those guys that I'm not going to remember the guy's name, but he went to the Pro Bowl this past year for the Browns. He was
Joe
another
Schobert?
White linebacker. Yeah, Joe Schobert.
Did Joe Schobert really go to the Pro Bowl this year?
Did he really? There's no way.
Yeah, I think he went to the Pro Bowl. It might have been a special teamer, but he definitely went to the Pro Bowl. Yeah, good for him. So it's always worth taking a shot. I think the Packers are pretty filled at linebacker, inside as well. So I'd be pretty shocked if that happened.
Right. I was just more doing the Badger thing for, are these guys going to get drafted for my Badger friends?
Don't tell the Pinheads.
Just to get people lubed up.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. That's not necessarily if they're going to be Packers or not, just more if they're going to be Badgers. I mean, I think Fumagalli is a guy that I don't think people would want to cheer against if, say, like a team like the Vikings or the Lions drafted him. I think that would bum a lot of people out just because he was a good Badger. He's someone people like cheered for. Moving into the quarterbacks, where would you rank the four quarterbacks? Yes, Mitch?
Let you guys know, Schobert did make the Pro Bowl as a replacement for Ryan Shazier.
Okay.
So, wow. Anything's possible these days, I guess.
He had 144 tackles.
Players.
Hey.
He was first in the league in tackles, bro.
Well, when you go 0-16 and have no defensive line, you got a lot of opportunities.
You got a lot of opportunities.
Somebody's got to do something.
A lot of opportunities. Now, Mitch is now 2-for-2 and interrupting me mid-question, so you're on a roll.
My job.
So it's so verb. The quarterbacks, I know where you lean. Me and you have talked about this, as they say in marketing, offline. We've talked offline about this, but how do you rank them? Why are you ranking them that way? And then we'll also share our own rankings because I want to hear your takes on my takes.
I mean, I love Josh Rosen. I don't know why he's been crushed throughout this entire process. Maybe it's because he's a rich kid. Maybe because he doesn't love football. But I thought Sam Darnold played so bad in the 2017 season. Everyone remembers his Rose Bowl performance against Penn State 2 seasons ago. But Darnold had 30-plus turnovers. And, yes, he may be the safe pick, but, like, Mark Sanchez was the safe pick, and he's a career backup that just got suspended for 4 games for using PEDs. So I love Josh Rosen. Now, I would be pretty shocked if his representation has basically told the Browns, we do not want to go to Cleveland. That seems like a very Josh Rosen thing, and that's fine because look how that worked out for Eli Manning. So I would go Josh Rosen, and then I really like Josh Allen. He's just huge. I like Josh Allen more than Sam Darnold. I know the completion percentage is out there, but he was playing with talent at Wyoming. Now, you can cut that, basically both ways, that he was playing against bad talent, but there's also not a lot of talent for him to throw to at Wyoming. And then I'm going to probably – I love Baker Mayfield as a person. He probably relates more to me as like a chip on your shoulder type of guy.
Dude, I've seen him going 3 in a couple of mock drafts I've been looking
at. That's crazy. I mean, if you're going
to
take a risk like that, I would rather just take a risk at Lamar. Lamar played in a pro-style offense, but I don't know if Baker Mayfield has ever actually changed a play at the line. And we saw how Georgia got to Baker Mayfield in the second half of that college semifinal, where they kind of had figured out the smoke and mirrors of the offense. So that's where, and I would rate Lamar over Baker.
Interesting. So, yeah, and I guess to that point, like the Lamar criticism, do you think it's justified or do you think that it is just sort of like they're just poking holes to poke holes because he's a quarterback?
I mean, it's Bill Polian driven. Now, Lamar has not helped him out. I've never had a chance to meet his mom. Lamar's from where I live right now in West Palm. Lamar's Mother has been his representative throughout this entire draft process, and he decided basically to do that because rookie salaries are already basically portioned out, and he said he'll get an agent once he's up for his first contract. But there has been some rumors out there that people have had trouble, as in NFL teams have had trouble getting a hold of Lamar to schedule interviews or workouts. So I think people have poked holes in Lamar because it's easy, and often people do that in the draft process and may gravitate towards the, you know, another USC quarterback coming out when we really haven't had a lot of success with USC quarterbacks.
Do you think point blank that the Patriots are going to trade up with the picks they have to get Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I'd be pretty shocked if the Patriots don't come out of round one or round two, and that's probably where I would lean to, like a Mason Rudolph without a quarterback. And that's really just because they want the leverage and they want to scare Brady. And that's not because there's beef there. There might be a little, but that's just how Bill Belichick thinks.
So here's a crazy question, because this is very comparable. If Josh Rosen does fall, does he become literally the next Aaron Rodgers and get drafted by the Patriots? The Patriots trade up to get Josh Rosen, not Lamar Jackson.
And they kick Tom Brady's ass out?
No, but it basically is Favre Rodgers all over again.
Totally.
And I am seeing it now. I like just all of a sudden had this whole galaxy brain of
when
it.
You guys
happening.
Were talking about Josh Rosen before. I was thinking of that because he's gone from you know potential number one overall pick and theoretically could still be
the chosen one. Like he had all this hype coming out. Yeah,
but chosen Rosen. Yeah,
he also could fall anywhere, and then it's just gonna fall on someone's lap like New England.
And the Patriots have two picks. They can move up and they could say, hey, we're gonna give you these two and we're gonna draft Josh Rosen. It would be incredible. Evan Silva always says the Patriots are playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers, and it would just be another indication of it. God, that I may have to plant my flag in that. I just like to sound right about a few things. So to kind of, I don't know, the one question I have is like, who is your favorite player in the draft, and then who is the one that you're like, you're going to laugh at a team for drafting that person? Vita Vey may be that guy, and we may have already went over that.
Yeah, I mean, I love Quentin Nelson. I know that's not the sexy pick, but he is the next Zach Martin out of Notre Dame.
He loves Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, he's probably going to make the Pro Bowl and maybe All-Pro next year for whatever team drafts him in the top 10 and probably be there for the next 10 years. I know I mentioned Calvin Ridley, but as we kind of look at, the rest of the first round, some other players that I'm just not in love with is Roquan Smith. I mean, we saw him, for Georgia, the linebacker, in the national championship game, and he was really good, but I get really worried with SEC linebackers because just the wear and tear on them just how much ability they are to stay on the field. So Roquan Smith, and we've seen, we went from this really smart world where we don't need to pick linebackers and running backs in the top 10 of the draft to this year where Roquan Smith and Saquon Barkley potentially both could be, top 8 picks, which I love Saquon Barkley, but I think the Cowboys, if they could redo the draft from 2016, would pick Jalen Ramsey over Ezekiel Elliott.
The fact the Giants are going to draft Saquon Barkley is fucking wild.
They haven't had a running back since Tiki Barber, but it is literally wild. They're going to try to win now.
It really feels like they're going to do it. It really feels like Dave Gettleman is stuck in the 90s and he's going to pull the trigger.
Christian McCaffrey eighth. I mean, that really worked out. Yeah.
Right. Unless he feels like he's like, hey, we can get Mason Rudolph in the second round. I mean, which maybe he can, maybe he can't. And that's what they're going with. I don't know. It'd be wild. I went from maybe the Browns draft Saquon to being like, okay, I'll cool on Saquon a little bit here. I started reading a little more things. I do think he's the best overall athlete in the draft, but that only goes so far. And you're right. Cowboys would 100% rather have Jalen Ramsey than Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. Like if the 49ers, who basically it looks like we'll have wasted a first-round pick on Reuben Foster, if they're just going to try to put a Band-Aid on the situation and pick Roquan Smith. I mean, basically, for this great team in the Niners that has really built up, their team with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan getting Jimmy G, if they're just going to start trying to take shots at linebackers because, they are still trying to get over, not having Patrick Willis there. So it will be really interesting, I think, where Roquan Smith and Saquon go, because where would Saquon go after two?
Does he
drop to Indy?
Maybe Indy. Maybe someone trades up to go get him after a certain point.
Yeah, could Saquon be the guy that we're sitting there an hour and a half into the draft and he's still on the board because all these quarterbacks went?
What about
Cleveland? Saquon.
I think the Browns got to pick Bradley Chubb there.
Yeah.
Bradley Chubb is better than Myles Garrett.
That would be nice to have both those guys, though, for sure, Myles Garrett and Bradley Chubb.
I don't know. Does Gruden draft him? Do the Raiders go after a guy like Saquon Barkley and trade up? Because if you think about that old school mentality about needing running backs and things like that.
Plus Marshawn Lynch probably shouldn't even be in the NFL.
Mitch, would you be okay if the Raiders salvaged their, you know, basically say they were at 6 and Indy doesn't want him and they had to give up a couple seconds? You know, the Raiders have a lot of picks.
Probably. I mean, it seems like the Raiders have gone all in, so why not just add to it?
I thought Denver made a lot of sense for Saquon, but it sounds like that Elway's in love with a quarterback. So I mean, the Bears don't need a running back.
No.
But I would not be happy if somehow Saquon landed there.
Quinn Nelson's enough, but if it was Saquon and then they traded Jordan Howard somewhere, my heart would really hurt. Like really, really hurt, because the Bears would be able to get like pretty good package probably for Jordan Howard coming back. And that's another thing I think to watch, and I was about to wrap, but that's another thing to think about is all these trades that could happen, because it seems like the NFL is more into trades than ever. There's a mention that Jamar Taylor could be on the move for Cleveland that some people think could make a lot of sense for the Packers potentially, which is interesting to see, to be keep an eye out for maybe some draft day moving and shaking with some of the players.
Yeah, and I think I usually don't go into the draft thinking this way, but if the Packers trade out, I'd be, at this point, 24 hours out, I'd be okay with it as long as they got a lot of second and third round picks out of it.
Yeah, I think I've made peace with that as well. So any questions, Mitch, before I ask Murph for the final thoughts?
Just get him his final thoughts.
All right, Murph, you got any final takes to leave the people with?
Justin Watson, I think we pick him on day 3. He is a white receiver from Penn, the Ivy League, their all-time leading receiver in basically every statistic. He's basically Chris Hogan, and he would definitely, I mean, we might as well just give him 87 if he makes the team.
So you're saying he's the next Jeff Janis?
Yeah, he's the next Jeff Janis.
Like,
and then I
folk
hope,
hero.
Yeah, folk hero, and I hope, I mean, if you didn't see it last week, I interviewed two potential day 3 guys, Casey McDermott. He's like basically like a do-it-all offensive lineman from Miami. He could be a 6 or 7 round pick, and then this Brandon Shedd kid that grew 4 inches and 50 pounds. He's a wide receiver. It'd be pretty cool if I interviewed someone that ended up in the Packers, and I could kind of, you know, personally and selfishly just basically tell them, you know, how life's going to be in Green Bay. So that's what I'm hoping for.
There you go, man. You got to do that. Well, we're going to talk about the Brewers. If you want to stay on and insert your takes, feel free, but we're going to be moving on to the Brewers from here.
I'll hang for a second. I know you hate my Brewers takes. So.
No, I don't hate your Brewer takes. To let people go behind the curtain, what I hate is like that you were trying to make trades for James Shields happen, who's been a fucking dog shit pitcher for three years now, and Ian Kennedy. I mean, come on, man.
Well, I'm Trader Murph. I mean, you two are always calling me out for just throwing up, you know, wacky trades. I mean, I just keep moving it along.
Yeah, I mean, we sometimes.
How does that James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk trade for Jabari Parker look like today? Pretty bad.
I would love that. We'd already be previewing if we're going to be playing the Sixers. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right.
And can the Bucks win a championship? Would be the hot topic.
Kelly Olynyk literally would be the premier center to pair next to Giannis, and you guys all know that. He'd be
possibly
three threes a night. I mean, we'd actually have someone that can rebound, but that's for another day.
Nothing's better than the Murph trade machine. Like, I can't believe you surpassed our friend Eric in terms of trade machine ridiculousness, but you have, which is great.
You have to respect it.
You're lucky there's not a baseball one, and I also wouldn't be able to figure out.
You had no idea what you were doing. You're like, I've traded this guy, and you're like, Murph, he's the best player in AAA. You can't trade Ronald Acuna to somebody.
Not Ronald. He's the Braves guy, right?
Yeah, he just got called up, finally. So
anyway, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, so are they winning today?
They, as of this very
Chassin
second time.
Chassin had a no-hitter going for a little bit.
That's not going anymore.
Oh, well.
Jules.
Wow.
The Royals are on the board tonight.
I'll probably give a homer to Moustakas.
I think he might have, actually.
With the Brewers, like, and I was having this conversation with my dad who's in town this weekend.
Shout out to Fred Murphy.
Yeah, he's been on fire all week.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, if you thought he could get any more unfiltered, you should go on vacation.
Yep, Moustakas.
I would love to hear Fred's takes on Kanye's tweets, if you could explain it to him. I would appreciate some feedback on that. Thanks.
Yeah, that would be pretty uncensored. Anyways, I'd love to win the Royals game tonight, but I was having this conversation with my dad, and he's like, oh, where do the Brewers head next? And I'm like, Wrigley Field. And he goes, oh, don't they always have a problem like beating the Cubs and Cardinals on the road when they're good? And I'm like, yeah, basically, but this could be a different team. Like, is this going to be like the first barometer if the Cubs if the Brewers could go into Wrigley and not get swept?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Brewers have actually done okay in Wrigley and in Busch Stadium.
They just swept the Cubs last September in Wrigley.
Last September, yeah. They swept them.
So literally 30 games ago.
They actually have more problems with the Cubs inside Miller Park. That's actually been the place that they've struggled. I think the whole crowd stuff affects them. I think
I don't blame them.
I think it really fucks with their head. So when they go into Wrigley, they play more loose. They don't play tight because they know they're in a road environment. I do think the fact that Council push back Chase Anderson to pitch on Thursday means that these games really do matter, and they really do like this. This is like they're not screwing around here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you need to get those division wins, and obviously the Cubs are going to be right there all year, despite what Yu Darvish has done.
Right, you know, and Jose Quintana has been trash. I mean, they've had some real struggles with their pitching staff, but their offense is starting to click a little bit. They played well in Coors. They're playing well in Cleveland. They had 10 runs yesterday. I don't know what they did today, but
the Brewers are getting healthy minus Eric Thames. Now we got to see Mr. April's going on the DL. He might be out 2 months.
Will Carroll had said that it's this kind of the same injury Trout suffered, where it was like a month-long injury, and then I'm sure with rehab and stuff. So we're really going to actually see. What I'm going to love about this is
about a week of a healthy Brewers lineup.
The Jesus Aguilar truthers will actually get their day. And I've not been like a huge – I like Jesus, but I've also said he's good in doses.
Yeah.
So we're going to actually see. I thought it was interesting they didn't – they didn't call up J-Man Choi. They called up Brandon Woodruff instead.
Yeah.
So Woodruff
to pitch out of the bullpen, apparently.
That doesn't make any – I don't know why they didn't just give him –
it's another Tyler Thornburg.
Give him Brett Suter's start. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe he is.
Right?
I mean, Tyler Thornburg was pretty good.
He was a damn good reliever.
And then we fleeced the fuck out of Boston.
Sure did.
But, yeah, and you – so I guess, you know, the question is where do you go with – you know, yeah, 8-game winning streak against the Royals, Marlins, and Reds. People are going to call us frauds, and people are going to say, well, the Brewers are overrated. But Clay Council pointed out every team, like the Cardinals and Cubs, are going to play these bad teams too. They're going to play teams that are sub-500.
And guess what? I mean, 8 wins in a row is 8 wins in a row.
Right. And as the drop says, you play to win the game.
Right.
And so it doesn't really matter who you beat, who you don't beat. Like, you get it done. Travis Shaw's looking like a goddamn all-star right now. Like, he's been just fantastic so far.
You play to win the game.
I think you'd rate it be Lorenzo Cain, Travis Shaw, and maybe Yelich as the next in terms of guy. Johnny VR is probably right up there, too. I mean, there's so many guys are playing well. So then you notice.
I mean, VR's been great. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, don't tell Waukesha County, but I mean, you know, VR's been have bounce back year. I mean, it's good to see.
You notice the guys who aren't playing well. So guys like Domingo Santana, Eric Sogard. I really think it's time to sort of like have a real conversation about Eric Sogard.
Yeah, and two, I mean, David Stearns, $3 million a year or $3 million or whatever it was.
Could it be Stearns' first fuck up? Stearns,
well,
hand up. Like,
he
I
said
screwed
a couple,
up.
But the overwhelming majority have been good, Trey. Good moves. Everything pretty much has been smart. And obviously, he's not going to get killed because everything. But I mean, $3 million for Sogard is a little. That's a little John Hammondy.
Well, also Eric Sogard's joined the Casey McGee All Stars of media members. Will not disrespect the nerd power and anything like that.
He's not that talkative.
Yeah, but he has the whole look. It's the look, like.
Well, he's got the nerd power.
He just has that deli scrap gym rat look
right,
to him.
Right, exactly.
That no one's gonna say shit. So it's like, oh man, Eric Sogard's really struggling. Oh, you think can we get Marcio Dubon or what?
Yeah,
because why not at this point? Like, why not put a guy like Dubon in there? Someone said Orf, I think, and it's like he's a career. He's just an Eric Sogard. It's the Spider-Man meme.
Yeah,
it's those two guys.
Much.
Two guys looking at each other. Like, so I'm not ready to panic about Domingo. I mean, Domingo's like, he's so close to Corey Hart comparison that he's also pulling a Corey Hart and struggling in the month of April. If you remember, Corey Hart was a notorious slow starter.
Yeah.
And then would get his ass going. So
What happens when you drink moonshine all off season?
Yeah.
Get off the horse.
Yeah, yeah, Domingo.
Well, Domingo's probably on drinking rum, or something.
No, it's the Corey Hart, yeah.
Oh, Corey Hart.
Yeah,
yes.
Corey Hart for sure. That Kentucky moonshine. That Kentucky whiskey is like moonshine.
Well, Corey Hart probably never fucking sleeps because he has like five kids. The guy guy has never heard of birth control once in his life.
He's like Philip Rivers. He's a world-class swimmer.
Oh, yeah, definitely world-class swimmer. No birth control in that household at all.
Absolutely not.
So that's probably part of it for Corey Hart. And then Domingo, I don't know. I don't know if the whole offseason's kind of screwed with his head a little bit and he's just sort of out of sorts. But, you know, I have confidence that he'll come around. I'm not really that concerned. There isn't one brewer right now that's really, like, pissing me off. I guess Oliver Drake has his moments, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
Everyone's in good graces, really. Sogard might be the only one that I'm really sick of watching him ground out to shortstop.
Yeah. I mean, the catching position, I mean, I know it's been pretty, like, solid, but you have to think at what point, like, what is Steven Vogt's story? Isn't he on the
field?
He's coming back.
He has a shoulder injury. I think he'll probably do extended spring training soon, and he'll come back. And then once he comes back, it's probably see you later for Jett Bandy. I think Jett Bandy's a good clubhouse guy. But that's pretty much all he is. I think he's a guy that everybody goes has beers with after the game. That's about it for Jeff Bandy.
Yeah, he's a poor man's Jason Kendall for sure. I mean, I
think Bandy's much more of a power hitter. He's a bigger guy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's like 6'5".
But I was going to say, isn't this like the ceiling for what Bandy has done here in April? Like,
yeah.
I mean, we can't expect much more out of him. I mean, I think if you're going to poke holes in the Brewers, I'm just going to go back to and Mitch – you know, brought this up in the preview for the season. I just don't want to be in July and all of a sudden the whole entire storyline is the bullpen needs rest. And I know, Charlie, that's going to infuriate you.
I mean, you're probably never going to avoid that, though.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it happens every year and it drives you nuts as a fan to hear about it. But partially it's true, you know, I mean, but we're also in a day and age where guys are starting to be expected to go longer.
Yep.
So maybe they should be able to handle more.
And
I mean, like, basically, if the Brewers, like, win 2 or 3 from the Cubs, they're going to be looked at as one of the best teams in the National League. How soon do you pull the trigger on bringing in a pitcher?
I think you wait to have that conversation. You have to see what pitchers develop, right? You have to, like, Chris Archer's been hot garbage to start the year. He has not been
so
good.
Great.
He's not been good at all. I think you sort of see. Now, there was some saying that the Giants need to make a deal for Baumgartner. If Madison Baumgartner is available and the Brewers are contending, I will trade whomever. Maybe not Josh Hader, but I will trade whoever to get Mad Bomb. And you know Mad Bomb's right.
That's
kind of an asshole.
Addition.
I'd be worried about chemistry a little bit with him, but he's the best postseason pitcher on the face of this fucking earth.
Mm-hmm.
I would ride or die with him in the postseason.
You wouldn't trade Yelich, would you?
No, I'm saying like prospects-wise.
Yeah, okay.
I like Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burns, whatever.
See ya.
Later. Bye.
What about Orlando?
Arcia?
That's tough.
Might be tough because he's a proven, I don't know. But we'll visit it. But I think you wait. I think you have to wait and see. I think you may get Knebel back sooner rather than later, it sounds like, which poses an interesting question. Like, I don't know if you just give Knebel back to start the closing role with how just things are going with. It's just a different guy. Like, last night it was Jeremy Jeffers, who's been – awesome. Like what he did on Sunday and I think that was at halftime of the Bucks game where they have bases loaded, no outs, and he somehow figured it out. And granted, the Marlins are hot trash, but it was still very impressive. You're like, okay, just if one run comes across, that's fine.
The bullpen has just been sparkling.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so it's hard to even really criticize them when they have a bad outing or someone stinks it up because it's like, you know, law of large numbers. You're gonna fuck it up one time.
And plus two, going back to the starting pitching, you know, Jimmy Nelson is gonna be coming back.
Right.
He's probably gonna come back in July, and it's gonna be, well, there's our deadline acquisition.
Oh yeah, that's pinhead number one right there.
Well, that's what council's gonna say.
No, I mean, but I think they're gonna make a move. I do think they're making a move for a pitcher. I think I think you need one more guy to take you over the hump. We'll
True.
See.
Well, I mean, we did say that all offseason, though, didn't we?
We did, but
but
in a way, he was like Jake Arrieta at his first good start was fine. Alex Cobb's given up 30 hits, I think, in 11 innings. He's been awful.
Terrible.
Yeah. He's been absolutely terrible. So obviously Stearns knew something there.
And what about Lance Lynn? It's Lance
Lynn. Lance Lynn's been walking the park. He's not been that good.
Yeah.
You
didn't really need to go sign a free agent. I was talking more trades. Obviously you can wait until the deadline or
whatever.
But
that's what I think that was always the plan. Like Ananasio said as much. I get that some of this stuff is bullshit, but
I'm guessing that somebody like Archer, I have two thoughts on him. Tampa's probably not going to come down from their price because that's their guy. You know, they're going to get what they want for him or they're not moving
him. Yeah, that's their treasure chest.
And then, and also Archer, you know, he's been trash. His numbers overall aren't that good, but maybe if you get him in a situation where he has to be the guy, he could be good. I mean,
he has the same sort of, I would say, personality. If you talk about personality fits, and I know that some people think team chemistry is overrated, but I'd cite Theo Epstein basically saying that we started valuing team chemistry more when we looked at how we built a roster. His attitude, personality wise, fits more of what the Brewers are versus a guy like Baumgartner. He just has that sort of fun loving, but also can just be serious and want to kick your ass and fight for anybody. He stirs the pot.
Baumgartner's just
a dick.
Just a redneck.
Just a big Jack Parkman.
That's such a pipe dream, though. Oh my God! I mean, where would Baumgartner would have to live? I mean, he'd probably live. Where would he live in
probably West Bend.
West Bend. Yeah, definitely West Bend. Definitely Richfield. I mean, definitely Richfield. Slinger. He would love it. He would basically be a block away from Cabela's.
Yeah.
Make sure he was close enough. But
maybe like a slinger, like you just drive down the slinger every day. He'd own the whole city because he'd need a big farm.
Yeah. The other part about the bullpen is they're right now third in innings. But as Hardrickor pointed out, they're one of the only teams who's not at a rainout this year. So it's a flawed number to really consider because so many teams have been rained out this year that it's really hard to judge like innings pitched at this point.
Yeah,
that's interesting. And hopefully that will come up, basically give the Brewers advantage. You know, I was looking at the Diamondbacks record last night, for example. I mean, I think the D-backs have played six less games than the Brewers. Wow. So at some point in May, June, and July, you hope the Brewers are sitting there with, tons of Tuesdays and Thursdays off days while all these teams are playing doubleheaders and they can kind of feast on it.
Sure thing. I did want to ask you before we rolled out, what's sort of I know not a lot of people talk about the Marlins, but, like, how angry are people at, like, Derek Jeter and the Marlins in general?
South Florida's baseball team is the New York Yankees and New York Mets. If you're mad at the Marlins, you didn't understand what you were getting into because this team had been owned by crooks for years in Jeffrey Loria. And Derek Jeter and the Bruce Sherman group, they basically have been transparent the entire time. They knew they were losing money. They knew they were getting a distressed asset. And they've been pretty open about, we need to blow this thing up. I think where baseball has just been ruined at this moment in South Florida is because they think that they're going to blow this team up, build a contender, and then blow it up again. So, I mean, people would be more mad at Jeter if he wasn't a Yankee. But as mad as they are now about this, think about how big of a star Jeter is going to be if the Marlins ever get good.
And that's a great point. I was just curious. I thought that was a good way to wrap it up. So we won't get into Kanye's Trump tweets today. So maybe save that for a Daily Tap on another podcast, another segment. But all kidding aside, I really do appreciate Murph joining us, hopping on, talking about the NFL draft. Fans of Murph, he will be on Daily Tap on Sunday doing a whole draft recap by himself. So look forward to that. I'm sure he'll talk Packers. He'll talk about the quarterbacks. He'll talk about any other things. I'm sure a lot of craziness. Murph, thanks again, buddy. Find him at TheNolanMurphy on Twitter.
Anytime, fellas. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, you too.
All right, that about does it for Mitch and I. We'll be back to either wrap up the Bucs season, talk about the Bucs in Philly, and then look ahead to what are the Packers' reactions, overreactions, and talk whatever happens with Brewers Cubs. So a lot to talk about next week. We look forward to bringing you all that noise. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Snow Tap on everywhere. We'll see you guys later.
Peace.
Oh, my God.